Live from Stadium Swim at Circa, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
Cofield and Company, 4 o'clock hour is here. A lot to get into. Got to talk about some of the cool stuff coming up at Stadium Swim, including a bunch of viewing parties. Adam Hill is here. Our buddy Aaron from Circa hanging out as well. Mateo with the setup. Weenies and bikinis. We're going to get to it in just a little bit. We opened up that conversation yesterday. This show is an absolute juggernaut, first of all. There is no show that covers the hot dog eating scene and the major league eating scene like Cofield and Company. Soon to be the Netflix scene with one Joey Chestnut facing the returning Kobayashi. So a lot coming up this hour here live at Stadium Swim. Good Big Four coming up, and we are tracking afternoon baseball. Were you complaining about it or something you like? Is there a blowout going on and a position player's in baseball?
Yeah. Yankees have Trevino in there throwing pitches. It's one of my favorite things in all of sports when you have a blowout and then a team is just like, all right, we're not burning the bullpen anymore. We're just going to throw. Now you're taking walks. That's tremendous. We're just going to throw this guy out here so we don't burn the bullpen. But it's also hilarious that like teams often don't score when a guy's just out there throwing up, 45-mile-per-hour fastballs into the zone because you're just so not used to hitting that stuff.
Right.
It's crazy. And then you see, like, pitchers who are throwing 120, throwing, like, 104 on the corner and, like, are getting beat all over the yard.
Yes.
And these guys come in and, like, all right, I'm going to throw a 45-mile-per-hour pitch right down the middle, and people just hit it right at the shortstop. It's crazy.
Big Four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents The Big Four at Four. Number four.
So big news of the day, and we'll continue to break it down with some guests coming up. J.J. Redick is going to be the coach of the L.A. Lakers. Not a shocker that it's happened. It just took a little while. The announcement, or at least reports, leaked today. All right, so Lakers have a head coach in place. I suggested in hour number one, if they can, I don't know if they can per the league rules, but name LeBron an assistant. They're going to need some experienced assistants. Clearly, when you have a guy who's never coached before, you need that. And then there's all the other business to take care of with the Lakers. Getting LeBron signed to a long-term contract. Thinking about what you're going to do with your roster. Where does Bronny James play into this whole thing? I think it would be an absolute sin if the Lakers picked at 17 and took Bronny James. They should not use a first-round pick on him. But everyone focus right here, on me. Because what did I say 2 weeks ago? I started listing all of the teams that can ruin LeBron's dream and also have an outside shot at maybe coaxing LeBron after they draft Bronny, keep the Lakers from getting him, and go, you know what, LeBron? You haven't signed your deal yet? We got something to cook in here. Why don't you come over here? Now, I put that out a bunch of different times, and I listed all the different teams. There's a bunch of teams that can block him. And if you actually look, I'm pretty sure I'm correct on this one. At 55, the Lakers have that second-round pick. There's some teams around them that absolutely should screw them over. Now, I think this one's crazy, but Bill Simmons clearly listening to Cofield and Company. We don't do the same the other way, but he's a powerhouse. He said, according to Griffin, Celtics should make a power move and draft Bronny James with the 30th pick to hold leverage over the Lakers. Yeah. Someone should do it. No. Well, why just let the Lakers get a guy they want, even if he's not. I do think he's going to be a guy they can market and make money off of. Now, Rich Paul's already said we're not doing a two-way contract, so I don't know how the hell you can't send him down and fill buildings in the G League.
No, you're drafting a guy that you're going to have on your actual roster. You're drafting and using a roster spot. So if you don't think he's good, now you're really in a tough spot because now you do have one less player to play with.
Yeah, he says, we took Bronny, now give us Max Christie.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Maybe they'd say yes. Who knows? Is it worth it or more than? And his point is, hey, nobody you're going to draft there is actually going to make the roster anyway. Like you're drafting because you have a full team already. You're making a title run. You're not drafting a rookie to play. Usually you'd use that spot to draft like a European player or somebody to hold their draft rights, something like that. But I think it's interesting to see how teams are going to try to to manipulate this if they do. Now, we've already said the Rich Paul camp is already trying to get ahead of this and like, hey, we're not married to LeBron and Bronny playing together. It's not a package deal. It's not something that's set in stone. So he's already trying to lay the groundwork to put it out there. Like, this is very foolish of you to try to do something like this. But we'll see. Some team could take that calculated risk.
I mean, along with the calculated risk, someone could just kind of be vicious. Like, we're taking them in the first 15 picks of the second round, and we're signing him to a two-way contract. And if he doesn't want to do it,
sign it.
If he doesn't want to do it, then he can sit out.
Yeah,
go play internationally.
Yeah, that would be it. Then you're just wasting a pick, but which is fine.
I mean, some of the best teams, I have to look at the top 15 if there's a team that's already, I mean, there are a lot of teams that just trade out of the second round, don't draft anything.
For sure.
It's quite the storyline. If you were going to try to book this, like, yes, no, the Lakers get Bronny James in the draft.
Say no minus like $4.
Oh, really? You're that confident, huh?
I think so.
That's going to come together for him.
Well, that somebody could.
All right. Number three.
Number three.
What are the Rams going to do with Matt Stafford? I know they're into F them picks. They pay their players. Stafford, who is, you know, brittle. When he plays, he's awesome. He's still awesome.
I can't believe the Stafford contract story is the story that you want to talk about.
31 mil. What's the contract story you want to hit?
No, the Stafford story. I mean, Kelly Stafford has been trending for like 5 days at this point.
What happened with her?
As the group chat puts it, she has admitted to plotting and thoughting out on the streets. She said she basically, I don't want to say tricked. It's not the right word. She enticed Matt Stafford by developing a backup boyfriend when they were dating. I mean, they were in college at the time. They're college sweethearts. And she's like, I don't know. He's not getting serious. Here's the backup. I got him ready to go. We're going. I'm going to go with him.
How is this being greeted?
Not well by a lot of people.
I know. I've seen more than a few women who lecture others about the beginning of a relationship. And if guys aren't truly forthcoming, then that's a terrible way to start. I mean, this is an awful way to start, right?
It's not great.
Can you trust this woman if she's coaxing you with a fake boyfriend or a backup boyfriend?
A backup.
Another option who's real.
Well,
hey, look, that could happen. You could be out.
He should have also called her bluff because, as she said, she was like, yeah, Matt was like a perfect guy. He was great. Everything was great about him. The other guy was kind of a jerk. Like, why are you developing as a backup? It just doesn't make any sense.
What? I mean, honestly, I don't.
It worked for her.
I go down this path, and I sound like a hater, but come on. When you're a future pro athlete who's probably going to make hundreds of millions of dollars, why would you be tricked by anything? Love, schmov. You're in your 20s. Come on.
The backup boyfriend got him. You got tricked into it.
The only way it's a real threat is if she's from a loaded family, because you're like, well, I'm not guaranteed that I don't blow out my arm or tear a knee and it doesn't work out. I have to, because you are, I don't know what kind of money he comes from, but you are negotiating at the time a deal where you should be working upwards. Not, I'm going to drag this person along.
Yeah.
But guys don't get it until they're ancient like me.
He went for it. He went, and now he's pondering what to do on the next contract.
Is he out?
I don't think she went public with that before he knew. I think they probably had discussed that at some point. Now he's got to get more money in case there's a divorce coming, and then that's why he's worried about negotiating his contract and redoing it.
He knows he's in a bad position.
Yeah, he's like, this backup guy's back around.
Number two.
Number two.
MLB just posted its most attended weekend since 2008. Front Office Sports wrote this, saying the pitch clock has spurred attendance growth.
That can't be true.
Fact. How do they know that, whoever wrote this tweet?
Maybe they talk to people. I don't know. I'm going to probably three games in the next 5 days. Because
they're faster.
I'm going to be.
Because they're faster.
It has nothing to do with it.
Any game I go to has zero to do with. I'm glad it's happened. Like, I don't want to sit there for 5 hours, but it's not coaxing me to buy more tickets. It helps.
No.
But it's not a deciding factor.
It's not even a consideration. In fact, when me and my friends decided we're going to games this weekend, we're like, you know, they are quicker. Maybe we should go to a couple. No, we like the park. We like the city. Let's go check out a game. Don't get to see them here. And even when the A's come, we won't get to see Major League Baseball here. Like, let's go see a game. To me, it does. Maybe there are people out there that are like, hey, I like that going to the game because it's faster. I can't imagine that's a very large percentage, but good for baseball. People are going.
Big 4-4 brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is the call from anywhere in the state of Nevada. Number, top story.
Number one.
You know, a great thing about social media and about branding yourself is to play the troll, right? You want to hook people. Our buddy over on Raider Nation Radio 920, was this a real list or a troll? JTTB. JT the Brick. We were just talking about Willie Mays passing away about 15 minutes ago. He said the three best and most impactful baseball players of all time are Willie Mays, Babe Ruth, and Hank Aaron.
Did Barry Bonds die?
No debate, he wrote. No debate. The fourth player is obviously debatable. Best and most impactful, I think, opens him up to a lot of areas. My top four, there is a debate. Babe Ruth is not in my top four.
No.
He played in an all-white league.
Yeah.
So the league today is an international league. Sorry, the crew that was playing wasn't the full crew of baseball players around the world. Now, clearly, the best and most impactful player is Ohtani.
Ohtani.
Barry Bonds is next. I don't care about the steroids. I was nice and I put Willie Mays and Hank Aaron 3 and 4. His list, he's got Ruth, Mays, Aaron. No debate. You?
I mean, I think Barry Bonds is, to me, got to be at or near the top.
Yeah, I have Ohtani in front of him because Ohtani pitches.
Yeah, I think Ohtani.
He will pitch again,
Ohtani's
and close. He's also growing the sport of baseball here and continues to grow it in Japan.
Yeah. I mean, I have no problem with those two at the top in some order. No question. Yeah, I think Willie Mays is probably right there, you know, next. So he's part of the group, but it's certainly silly to say it's not debatable who the top three are, especially to include Babe Ruth there.
And for me, Mays and Aaron deserve the nod. Number one, their numbers are awesome. Their play was great. Borderline five-tool guys. And what they were playing against is incredible.
Yeah.
The era when they came around, it's insane.
Yeah.
What do you think? Because Jackie Robinson, all credit, right? Broke the color barrier. It didn't change much. Because friggin' Hank Aaron's trying to get 715. There's snipers on the roof to potentially take out morons in the crowd who might kill him.
Pretty tough to play through.
Barry Bonds got a rash of crap for his head getting larger, but he didn't face that. But I still have him at. He's so freaking good. He was so awesome. He is a five-tool guy. And honestly, I'm not grading people's personalities. I guess impactful. Did Bonds help grow the game?
Well, if we are, Babe Ruth was a crumb, too, so.
I assume you're not going to have Ty Cobb in the top four.
No.
We roll on. Circa, Las Vegas, on a Thursday. Coming back, lots of updates in a convo that Dana White had on Club Shay Shay?
Yeah.
And I'm already $16 million into this thing. This will never be done again. This will never be replicated. Anybody who comes in after me at the Sphere is f***ed.
She's a bleach blonde, bad-built, butch body. She's a bleach blonde, bad-built, butch body.
All right, coming up on the halfway point, Cofield and Company on the road on a Thursday, our Thursday home every week, Stadium Swim, Dana White with Shannon Sharp. Interesting stuff in that interview. Shannon not versed enough in MMA to really put up a fight to any of the stuff that Dana White said. I think Adam might have a little different opinion on a few things. One more follow-up on the JTTB list of top players of all time in Major League Baseball history. He said, JT the Brick said, over on Raider Nation Radio 920, Babe Ruth, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron in any order. I said Ohtani 1, Bonds 2, if you want to put Willie Mays 3, okay, Hank Aaron 4. I have a feeling I know what you're going to say here. I'll say this guy goes, let's say this dude plays from 1948 to 65. I think he hits 405 for his career with 400 home runs and 1,000 steals. Ichiro.
I mean, he's very good.
He might actually buy the numbers back in that era, the Aaron Mays era. He might have consistently done 20 and 70 with a 400 average.
Yeah, I think it's possible. He's a great hitter. He could have done almost whatever he wanted.
Great speed. Keep in mind, we also didn't get him here until he was 26 or 27.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing to remember, that he had a great career with a ton of stats in Japan before he came here. If you add those, his numbers start to look absolutely ridiculous.
Again, I'm not here to take away from what Willie Mays, you know, rest in peace, and Hank Aaron did, because they're awesome. Although I wonder, a Japanese player less than a half dozen years after World War II, what he would have faced.
Yeah.
Trying to play in the United States?
Yeah. Probably wouldn't have been pretty.
We've got a fight now booked on Netflix for July. Jake Paul is not going to wait around for Mike Tyson. He has booked Mike Perry. This is intriguing. First of all, how big is Mike Perry?
Like size-wise?
Yeah.
Well, he was fighting a lot of 170 in the UFC. Then he was cutting a lot of weight, so I think he's more...
You think he's around like 200 pounds?
A couple times at 85. So he's probably 200, 205.
So what's Jake Paul going to do? Because he was reported to be up to like 230. He's all puffy now.
He's mostly been fighting. Well, I don't know the boxing weight classes really, but hasn't been fighting like 185-ish?
Yeah, but he bulked up a bunch.
Yeah. They'll probably fight at, what, 195?
It's not even where they're going to fight at. I wonder. Yeah, okay. Well, he's got to make weight then.
Is 196 is that cruiser weight, something like that? I don't know. What
might be too low. I don't know if he can get all the way down there. Or maybe the reports of him being, you know, well over 200 pounds are inaccurate. I feel like this could be a real fight, even with the pillows. The gloves.
Yeah, I think so.
But my question in every Jake Paul fight is, on the back end, is there an agreement with the other fighter? Clearly there wasn't with, was it Tommy Fury?
Yeah.
Is there an agreement on the back end in these sort of crossover fights? You know what? Fight, but don't really fight. You'll get a payday.
I've always kind of suspected it, but there's no evidence to back that up. That's always been just my thought. It's why the fights intrigue me less than they might otherwise, because I never know how much to fully trust it. But I also don't, like, Mike Perry, he's a very interesting dude for people that don't know him. Like, he is very, like, respectful at times, but he's a complete wild card. Like, he does seem like the type of person that would make that agreement and then take one shot that he's like, what was that? And then just go full crazy and just start going berserk in the ring.
So he's not to be trusted.
I don't know if he is or not. I mean, he seems like somebody that's really, as weird as it is, like, respects contracts.
I don't know.
He's so unpredictable. I have no idea. He's like, he's so polite. When you do, like,
but then there are times he's not.
Yeah, then he's just then
he like, goes, what are the odds that he drops an N-bomb during the press conference? Like, randomly.
It's not out of the question. I mean, he said he got tested and he had some African blood, so he's allowed to say it. He said it one point.
He said that?
So, yeah, I mean, you never know.
Okay. You never. That's it.
You just never
Mike,
know.
You never know,
He's
Perry.
Like the most unpredictable person I've ever been around.
Yeah. Yes.
I wouldn't invite him to a party. Let's say that. As much as I've always got along with him and that he's been so respectful in every interview I've ever done with him, I wouldn't want him around like at an event.
The emergence of the podcast world and celebrity athlete podcast world is a really good thing for Dana White. I was going to say it's a godsend, but he's not forced to do traditional media. He doesn't really want to talk to us because he doesn't want to debate. And I understand. Like, it's nice to have a receptive audience. Say whatever you want. And someone's just going to cackle and go, and be like, oh, my, hanging on every word.
It's funny.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, getting resistance kind of sucks sometimes. So Dana White was on with Shannon Sharp. And let's go with Dana 3 first here. As he talks about the heavyweight division and there was a whole goings on there with Ngannou and John Jones. He couldn't make the fight. Then Ngannou went elsewhere, just got knocked out in a boxing match after going the distance with Tyson Fury, and now I feel like a little different history has been written about this.
Do you believe John Jones was afraid of Francis?
Not only is John Jones not afraid of Francis, John Jones is the baddest fighter to ever live in any combat sport. In my opinion, he does the same thing to Francis.
What?
100%. Does the same thing to Francis. Francis didn't want to fight John Jones. There's nothing for him to prove now. He already moved up to heavyweight and walked through. Francis Ngannou barely made it through Ciryl Gane.
Yeah.
So in the middle of that, there was a reference to Ciryl Gane and how easy Jones beat him. That, to me, is disingenuous.
Yeah.
Ciryl Gane against John Jones and Ngannou versus... Ngannou versus Ciryl Gane, they're totally different fights, and the styles make fights.
Of course, yeah.
Gane can't defend a takedown. He's a neophyte grappling. John Jones beat him that way. Ngannou, is decently well-rounded, but he was going to stand up with Gane a lot of the fight.
Yeah.
The matchup makes it. And the other statement in there about, did he just say John Jones has proven all he needs to prove at heavyweight? Because he beat Ciryl Gane?
I guess.
That's another one. You got mystified there by Mike Perry, and you're like, you never know? I never know what the relationship is with John Jones and Dana White.
It's been good for a while.
He loves him.
He does.
Greatest of all time. And I actually hold the same sort of respect in the ring for John Jones, but I don't know, man. Ngannou never wanted to fight him?
Yeah, he actually recently got very mad because somebody voted for somebody besides John Jones as top pound for pound. He like lost his mind.
What did he wear?
In the rankings.
Oh, tell me, is he policing the UFC rankings now too?
He always has been. But yeah. And there was a question of, where somebody stood in the pound for pound. He's like, look, John's won. That's it. That's all we really need to know. I feel like I could be wrong, but I think at some point he had kind of said the opposite, that Ngannou would beat Jones when it was Ngannou was the champion and Jones was not here.
Someone's got to go back and get that.
I do think Jones probably wins the fight.
I agree.
But it wouldn't be easy. He wouldn't walk through him.
I don't think it's a walkover, and there's a lot of strategy.
And also, let's not pretend like Ngannou didn't want to fight him. Ngannou didn't want to fight him for what they were willing to pay.
Exactly.
Ngannou wanted to go make a lot more money by going elsewhere. And now, by the way, who knows where Francis Ngannou's mind is. I don't know if he'll ever fight. I know he wants to, but for those that don't know, he recently just lost a child, a toddler. This is a very, very sad circumstances. So I don't know where he is. I just heard the other day from some of his people that he wants to get back in there late in this year, but I don't know. I don't know where he is mentally, and that could affect it going forward.
Griffin, let's jump ahead to the boxing comment by Dana White. That's Dana 4, because I think this is real interesting. So we're both suggesting here that is a fight that could have been made, Ngannou against Dana White, but I think
Jones.
I think Dana White felt like Ngannou was asking for too much money. He had leverage. He wanted money. Let's listen to Dana talk about how boxing has ruined itself.
Boxing got so f***ed up that nobody could actually make a living out of it, and people couldn't, that Saudi Arabia had to take it over. A group of people that have so much money, they don't care whether they make or lose money. That's how f***ed up boxing got, that's where that had to go. Mm-hmm. That's why this guy is making all these fights that he's making right now. Like Tyson Fury versus Usyk, that's a fight that should have happened. It took Turkey to make that fight because they have unlimited funds, and whether they make money or don't,
they don't care.
They don't care.
So the lead into that, the lead up to that in his comments, he was talking about how boxing just is max money in like that given moment, and that boxing really hasn't built anything and has nothing right now to show, which is, I think, is interesting because Turki Alashik, there's a story or thought out there that he's going to buy like the five biggest promotions and try to do UFC like for boxing. If that's the case, if Dana's accurate, then the five biggest promotions should be worth nothing and he should be able to put this together like that.
Yeah, but also, There's a lot of complicating factors that they really aren't worth anything. It doesn't make any sense that you would acquire the promotion. You just want the fighters. So you just wait for their contracts to run out and then sign them, or just go buy. Like, I don't know how they're exactly going to put that together, if they are actually going to try to put that together, which I do think they might. There is a point to what he's making that is true. I think some of these promotions have a couple of big stars, and they try to get whatever they can out of those guys, and then they can't really figure out how to make money off the lower-level fighters. And that's kind of where we are stuck. And then why aren't you building these guys? Because there's not enough money to do that when you're paying, the only thing you're getting money out of is these massive, massive fights. So what's the point of building up the smaller guys? So there's a point to this for sure. Hopefully it's something that they can figure out, and maybe, you know, His Excellency will be able to do that and put something together with boxing. But they're also kind of going to deals with UFC. Like, UFC is there this weekend.
30 seconds left. Coming in, he addressed how big, how much money they've invested in a card at the Sphere. That's going to be what? Is that Mexican Independence Day?
Yep.
And he was saying to Shannon Sharp, like, everyone should want to be on this card.
Yeah, probably. But, I mean, I don't know how they're going to construct this card. I don't know what they're going to do. I think the Sphere is the card. And I know that they're putting a ton of resources into trying to figure out how to use it. That was the thing. It's not even resources into actually using it. It's how to use it. What can we do? How can we showcase this venue?
4 o'clock hour presented by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Offices in Reno. Dial 775-766-1400. Of course, three offices. Vegas, downtown Vegas, and Henderson. 766-1400 is the number.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
The summer of fun. Officially summer of fun. Right? Summer begins today.
Oh, yeah.
Planet Nissan and Lotus Broadcasting, ESPN Las Vegas, with another summer of fun. We did this last year. 8 trips, 8 weeks. The trip this week, and you can qualify for it using our text line, 702-364-1100. Got to dial 702-364-1100. Text to qualify for the trip we're giving away this week is 4 days, three nights in England, Liverpool, Beatles. How cool is that? What a trip.
Very.
Or you can take the cash offer. We have that for every trip that's given out. Got to text in the code word of the day. The code today is cruise, like a cruise ship. Cruise. 702-364-1100. Okay. You got me all fired up yesterday during a break. You're like, oh, man, there's breaking news. It's another finger in the chili story, sort of. You remember that lady's name, Anna Ayala? Why do we remember that? Because, man, oh, man, was she obnoxious, and man, oh, man, was she a scam artist, as we found out. That was completely fake, and her, and I think it was her son, had shaken down a bunch of different people and businesses prior, and they got nabbed this time. Now, we don't believe that's the case this time around, but did we find something disturbing in food?
No, in fact, it's a very good family from town that are kind of known, so I would highly doubt that this is not true. But there was a local grandmother who was making a salad for the family. She just bought a pack of produce from the local store.
Package, not loose.
No, it's a package.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
I thought that was a failsafe.
Well, she told the story that she always, no matter what, she always washes every vegetable because that's what she was taught growing up. So she. You know, was washing it in the sink, even though it was in a package and ready to go.
This is like a salad pack.
Yeah, so she had poured it out, and she saw like a big clump of dirt, and she's like, oh, that's weird. And then she looked closer, and it had a tail and red eyes, and realized, oh, that's a mouse.
Okay, next key thing, you're leaving out a detail.
I am?
Yes.
What?
Status of said mouse?
Well, it's not alive.
Okay, just making sure.
Well, I saw the
picture.
Can
you get those bags with little holes poked in it?
I mean, I guess you could, but it. I saw the picture. It looks dead.
Okay.
I mean,
still very distressing.
Yes.
I think I'm still out.
Yes,
now.
It doesn't make it any less. There's no difference.
I don't know what I'm doing because that's it.
I think it's more distressing that it's dead.
That it's dead, just rotting there in dirt.
It's disgusting. So.
That's why I don't want a salad.
It's awful. Now, the other...
That's why I'm chubby.
The other issue, and again, we didn't say the store.
Oh, there's more issues.
We didn't say the store.
Yeah.
She obviously was very freaked out, very panicked. She called the store to complain. No answer. Called again. No answer. After 6 tries, she decided to go down there. She went and told the first employee that she saw, and they said, customer service is closed.
I know. I went... Do we have to talk about customer service?
I think we do.
It's pretty bad. I went to a place yesterday because I wanted to... I won't say where, but might be related. But I wanted to double check on a card that I needed to activate, and the person in front of me, I saw a customer walk up, and the person says something, and I can see from a distance, the customer service person goes, huh? And I just shook my head. I'm like, don't do that to me, please. But that's not as bad as, hey, I found a dead mouse in my bag of salad. Oh, sorry. Come back another time. Customer service is closed.
I should say, to be more specific, it was spinach.
Okay.
Not that that matters, just to be clear about that.
Oh, God.
Also, after being told the customer service is closed, she was given a refund. Thanks.
Were they smart enough to take the bag back?
Yeah, they took the bag in.
Okay.
They're like, look.
Can you imagine?
Like,
the manager's like, you let them leave with the bag, yeah, too?
Here's a refund. Thanks.
Well, it seems like it's going further than this since you guys wrote about it.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be a little viral around the country soon.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
You heard it, Stadium Swim. You know, they're going to have a hot dog contest. Folks do this all over the country on the 4th in conjunction with the big one. Here at Stadium Swim in the evening from 5 to 7, they're going to do weenies and bikinis. Bikini clad, I guess, just women. Oh, we're going to find out about the rules. Doing a hot dog eating contest. How about that? Interested?
It's going to be great.
Now, the granddaddy's in the morning. And, you know, there's been a lot of chatter about Joey Chestnut. But actually the most dominant hot dog eater in the world is Mickey Sudo, who has just crushed this thing and crushed the women's field. And the gap between the rest of the women is massive. And Mickey, a former Las Vegas, is nice enough to join Steve and Adam here. What's up, Mickey?
Of course. Thanks so much for having me.
So, first of all, are you living in the East Coast now or in the Eastern time zone?
I am. I'm in Florida these days.
Okay. Very nice. Maybe a little more travel friendly to more of the contest. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
I go to school here. We set up a nice little home, and yeah.
Even more important. You're not going to just live off of the hot dog earnings?
I'm looking to the future, because yes. I'm actually doing this for the next generation, not really for me, but when Nick and I decided to start a family, I just thought to myself, like, how long can I eat hot dogs? Like, what's the retirement plan on that? Because there's not really, like, a blueprint. So
yeah,
I decided to put a dental hygiene license in my back pocket. So I'm working on that right now, and I'll be all on my own next May.
As a dental hygienist, what is your recommendation to people about how many hot dogs is safe to eat at once?
I don't think dental hygienists are authorities on hot dog consumption.
Okay.
Although I will say, from personal experience and as a clinician, don't bite with your front teeth. Don't, you know, I mean, I do in contests. But I actually just had to have my front tooth fixed today because I have a horrible habit of, like, cracking pistachios. And recently, I re-tipped my tooth on a nectarine pit. So it's just like, just don't do that. Be more careful than I've been.
Who knew? I didn't know we were going to get tips on how to eat the hot dogs. I never thought of that.
I do eat my hot dogs with teeth. I when I start to get tired, I crush them with my molars. But, like, but we've never talked about this. I just, like, bite and sever them with my front teeth so that I never really have to, like, crush the hot dog and taste them, because the longer I can, the more I can prolong tasting them, you know what I mean? Like the more I can stave off like flavor fatigue. So it's all very strategic, really.
Very common question I'm sure Mickey Sudo gets. How often do you eat hot dogs outside of the contest?
Well, nowadays it's like, I mean, every day I try to have one if I can, just to, you know, get my body used to the flavor. You know, hot dogs are very flavorful. So I need to have that flavor built up for myself come July 4th.
We discovered a life-changing thing the other day. Somebody decided...
get ready, a life-changing thing.
Somebody decided it'd be a good idea to use an Olive Garden breadstick as the hot dog bun. I think this is genius. I think you could eat a lot more hot dogs if the bun was that delicious.
I mean, they are delicious. They're kind of heavy-handed with the salt, though. I mean, I do love a good... You know, whether it's Olive Garden breadsticks or Cheddar Bay biscuits from, you know, Red Lobster, like Cheesecake Factory bread, like all of them have their good points. But I don't know. I think a hot dog bun, like, just knows to take the back seat to the meat. So I don't know if you can have a bread rivaling the meat itself.
Exactly. Mickey Sudo's with us. Is Are there any hot dog contests where they're like, no dipping the bun, where you actually, where it's more grueling and you have to do the bread?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it just, that's not how we do our hot dog eating contest, but I've definitely seen those. I think it'd be really interesting to do a non-dunking contest, you know, one of these days.
Mickey Sudo, the number one hot dog eating woman in the world. Mm-hmm. All right. I don't know where you are in terms of being able to speak freely. MLE, you know, has the hammer lock on this thing, so you say what you can say. Give me your reaction to Chestnut and whatever this is, appearance fee, beef, or other hot dog sponsorship. What is happening here?
Oh, my God. First of all, you guys aren't, like, the first – you guys are the first ones to not just, like, fall into that whole, like, ban buzzword trap, because I don't know how that – I mean, I guess I do know how it started. But if you read the details, Joey's not banned. I mean, it's just – it comes down to – like, obviously, they're not my contracts, but – you've got so many different parties that ultimately either decided or couldn't decide that this was the best route to go. I mean, Joey's now signed with Impossible Foods. That's not a secret anymore. Nathan's is hosted by Nathan's. Major League Eating, they're the guys that put on this event, but there's so many more players. So to say that MLE banned them is really out and out inaccurate. So yeah, I mean, Joey's with Impossible. Nathan's is, as always, hosted by Nathan's with Major League Eating, hosted on ESPN on July 4th. I mean, you know, everybody's got their own, you know, things going on. And you know, the thing is, like, without Joey, I know a lot of people are kind of, like, shaken because they're just used to, like, what they've been getting for the last however many years, like, what, literally 16 belts deep. But I think, personally, that this is going to be the most exciting hot dog eating contest on the guy's side that we've seen in at least as long as I've been involved. I mean, for the first time, like, you don't have a heavy favorite. You get to see, like, five or six guys, like, fight to the death, like, to see who could put up the highest number. And that number is going to be high. So I'm just really excited to see, you know, like, the intensity with which these guys are going to come for this contest.
Well, you're preaching to the choir because, as you know, as much as people have, you know, grown to just love watching the coronation of Joey Chestnut every year, I've been very excited about, hey, we're going to watch a contest where we have no idea who's going to win. Like, we haven't done this in a long time. It's great. And it also, we're talking about this because we are getting pretty hardcore on the breakdown. How much pressure now is there on the judges to really be accurate when we know it could come down to, like, a half a hot dog?
Oh, my gosh. I do not envy their job, nor do I envy any of those guys on the guest stage. Because, I mean, literally, you're going to have – you might have that winner crowned by what – I mean, it's probably going to be crowned within, like, the last – seconds. It might come down to who has the bigger stuff. It might come down to a fraction of a hot dog. You know, who has debris? Who doesn't have debris? It's going to get ugly up there. So I definitely don't envy the judges' jobs.
Mickey Sudo's with us. Best hot dog eating woman in the world. I'd never heard the term stuff. Is that basically the chipmunk move where you're just cramming in?
So, I mean, like, personally, like, I think this is where, like, integrity is important, because what's in your mouth at the end of the contest counts. So, like, three, two, like, George Shea is always screaming up there, 3, 2, 1, put down your hot dogs. Like, I feel like you should be able to, like, move your hands away. Like, if you, I don't know how much of the women's contest is actually, like, captured at this moment, but, like, if you were to talk to me within, like, that 3, 2, 1, put down your hot dogs, I could have a full-on conversation probably within 7 seconds. You know, you don't want to be that guy who, you know, stuffed 2 hot dogs, 3 hot dogs in his mouth, and he's literally still chewing as they're doing podium. Like, you don't be that person. I'm kind of a stickler when it comes to the rules with this. But so, you know, what's in your mouth counts at the end. That's where chipmunking comes from. I think it's up to each individual to kind of, like, you know, hold themselves to, you know, a nice standard.
Have the incident with a reversal, a very famous reversal by Kobayashi, who couldn't hold it down anymore, so he kind of spit it up a little bit. From the beginning of this, I mean, I expressed some outrage on the contract stuff and MLE, but I also understand the other side here, that you've got sponsors, there's contracts. But on the competition, so Nick, your husband, Nick Weary, is on the odds board. I think there's going to be like 7 guys who can eat between, say, 46 and 55. But what Nick, I tweeted at you guys a couple weeks ago because it got me – I couldn't figure out what was going on. Nick qualified one day with, like, 48, right?
So he and Pat Bertoletti were at the same qualifier.
Right.
It came down. It was too close, so they're both going to Coney Island. because I think it was 48 to 48.25. But, you know, at that point, can you really make a solid call with all the, you know, with, you're talking about hot dog bun flex at this point. Yeah. So they both qualified for Nathan's, and they're both going to Coney Island.
Then you got,
we can't have that on the 4th.
Well,
these
are Ohio judges, though, Adam.
We need to stay calm. We need a
the
winner.
Shades will get the best judges possible. This Mickey, by the way, we do this all the time. We talk about competitive, start yelling at each other. But my confusion was,
I love it.
Did Nick? Did you guys go on the donut eating the day before or the day after?
So that was the day. Oh, that was the day after.
How did he do that?
I guess donuts are just a little bit easier to digest.
The next day?
I mean, obviously, I didn't eat at the qualifier.
Right. That is so crazy. 48 hot dogs and then like 61 donuts the next day.
Yeah. Yeah. He put up a high number that day. I was, I've got my work cut out for me. But I know it's going to be really exciting. Like you just mentioned, Pat Feroletti and Nick both qualifying out of Cleveland. Obviously Jeff Esper, who's always hovered like around high 40s. Has he ever hit 50? He's at 51. Okay, so, and then you've got, you've a couple international competitors. Corbucci out of Brazil, I know who's practicing like crazy. It's his first year there. Nat from Thailand, his numbers are very high, but it's going to be his first time eating hot dogs as well. Who else? James Webb out of Australia is really strong this year. So, honestly, it's just like there are like six of them that could just pull this any which way. It's going to be a bloodbath.
Is there a strategy?
I'm here for it.
I love that word.
Is there a strategy to finding the right qualifier where you're like, nobody's going to be in this one. I'm going to go qualify here.
If you're a guy, yeah, they're like crazy cross group, you know, messaging groups. I think Nick would be a better person to ask about this. But I mean, there are some qualifiers where it's like, oh no, that person's already called it. I don't want to compete against him. You know, there's some people who just for the heck of it are going to go because it's in their backyard, knowing that they're not going to win. There are other people who, you know, who have nothing near, like there was only one on the West Coast, right? So, I mean, it's very strategic on the guy's side. And I'd love for it to get to that level on the women's side. We actually just had one girl qualify with 14 the other day out of Pleasanton. So, you know, just it's nice to see at least double digits on the girl's side.
Okay, let's get to, we got about a minute and a half here.
Okay.
This is what I've been waiting to ask you. Mickey Sudo's with us, 4th of July hot dog eating contest. No, you've been great. We interviewed Molly Schuyler last year, and we talked to Raina Wong. I don't know if you've seen Raina. She's more of a volume eater. Like, are you friends with, like, do you know them? Do you not like them? Are you like, they shouldn't be in the contest? Like, that would make the contest epic if those two were allowed in. Now, I understand the deal. They have to be exclusive, but what do you know about those two?
What do we not know about Raina at this point? I'm sorry.
She shares a lot.
I'm just gonna keep it nice okay. And say I wasn't ready for such a hot take question.
I should have given you a heads up. What about Molly?
Like I dyed my hair back brown so that people would stop confusing me for Raina.
No, man. Okay. I do find, and again, I have no idea what the dealings are with Molly and MLE. I do find her background fascinating because she is a multiple-time Wing Bowl winner, and that's pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah, what a cool event. That was like all, yeah. It would have been cool if I, you know, had the chance to do that. I don't know. I mean, I would just love to see the competition kind of, you know, intensify on the women's side all around. You know, like Leah from the UK, she's another one that I'd really like to see at the table. So who knows what the future holds. Rain is great with the camera, and I'll leave it at that.
Mickey, we appreciate the time.
Fantastic.
I assume Nick is right there. I won't book him specifically, but we definitely want him in, you know, in the next week or two. Well, it has to be next week. So let's try to get him on next week, really hype up the men's side. But we appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
There she is, former Las Vegas dental hygienist, really smart. And okay, I don't know what's going on. Now I got to dig deep on this one with Raina.
Very social media stuff.
That's why I thought Raina would be perfect for, I mean, she destroyed the field, but the weenies and bikinis, I think she'd be up for it.